Blog Talk Radio.
Animal here on May 22nd, 2013. May 22nd, 2013, and as I said last week, I'm telling the date for the benefit of people who listen to this show 100 years from now. And I was just talking to Jerry about a group called Bow Wow Wow. Neither of us know any of their songs, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about YouTube. I'm going to talk about YouTube. If you go to YouTube, you can see people who post lots of videos, a pile of videos by converts to their religion. Converts. They have the convert telling you why they left their own religion, the religion they were born into, and why they joined this one. And the message always is, this religion is great, and you should join it too, because it's wonderful. But you know what? These guys who post the videos, they never post videos by people who left that religion, the religion they belong to join a different one. They leave that for the people of that other religion. I hope you're following me. If you're posting a bunch of videos about religion X and how great it is, you never post videos about religion Y and the people who left religion X. To go to why? I know that's confusing, but I'll leave that. I'm sure you understand, right? But anyway, my point is, this is typical of sales. The rule is, put your best foot forward and hide the other foot. And you tell half the story. That's what I mean. That's the rule in sales. Tell half the story. That's what companies do, too. When they say, come on, I have to slap myself. When they say they're transparent, that means they put videos on their career site showing people who like working in that company. They like to tell you how fantastic it is. That's how they build their employment brand. But they never put up videos of the exit interviews. And nobody calls that lying, but it is. It's lying by omission. And it's up to the audience to know this. That's understood. Never give a sucker an even break. That's the rule in sales. And what does that tell you? People are liars in every sphere, in every sphere of life. What's wrong with me? In every sphere of life, in every part of the world, if you want answers to the tough questions, you have to raise them yourself and then go out looking for the answers. The salesman or saleswoman is not going to do that for you. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and they're only interested in themselves. But there's one show, one place, where you can find people sitting in the hot seat just waiting for you to call in and ask your tough questions. And Jerry, what show is that?
That is the Recruiting Animal Show!
Was that too short?
No, it was great. Thank you, Jerry.
You bet.
And on today's Recruiting Animal Show, who's my baby daddy?
Who's your baby daddy? That's your tough question, Mike. Do you know any songs by Bow Wow Wow?
Yippee-o, yippee-a.
Oh, yeah. I Want to Be a Cowboy. Is that it?
Is that by them? Mm-hmm.
I Want
Okay,
Candy.
Okay, Jerry is our guest here. Let me ask you, I want to move to the guest. Steve, are you here?
Yeah,
Steve,
I thought Bow Wow Wow saying, I Want Candy.
You want to sing that?
Yep, he's on it.
I hate that. Okay, I don't like that song. Maya, you get out of singing a song. Did you bring a song, by the way, Steve?
No, I don't.
Did you bring a song, Steve? You're prepared.
No, I
did you
not.
Bring a song? Shame on you.
Come
on. Okay. Look, I'm going to get my ads out of the way first. Is that okay, Steve, before we start talking? Because Steve sent me a big plan for the show, and I want to get through everything. Now, there's an update to our sponsor, Recruiting News Feed. I pay him to be the sponsor. RecruitingNewsFeed.info. He aggregates, he collects all the feeds from the best recruiting blogs in the world, including this show, and sends them all to your smartphone. And he had a free app for it. He had a free app for it, but was only for iPhones. And now he's got a free app for Android phones as well.
Oh.
And you can get that at recruitingnewsfeed.info. Now I'm going to blow my own horn. Everybody knows I wrote a book last week called The Psychology of Job Hunting. It sells for $2.99. It's psychologyofjobhunting.com.
Gosh.
And I got my first review, and I'm going to read you guys a little bit of it. Not much, don't worry.
And then can I heckle you for flipping over to the job hunt?
You know what?
Cash grab.
This is good for recruiters, too. I was just trying to put a title on it that might get me the biggest market, but I haven't sold 5 copies yet. Okay, this is a quote from the review. The psychology of job hunting reads a little like a first draft, and while there's some useful observations, Animal doesn't have the professional credibility to write a book about psychology. How's that, okay, for an endorsement? And she paid for her copy. Okay, back to Steve. Stephen Nahez. Let me spell that for everybody. N-E-H-E-Z, or Z in the United States. Steve
Nahez.
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 Is that pronounced right, Steve? Steve, is that pronounced right?
Yeah, and I guess in my part of the world, yeah.
Okay, I got to tell you something, Steve.
Yeah.
Why don't you change your name? That's good for a horse trainer. Nahez. But you know what? I mean, who can spell it? Who can say it? Nobody.
Well, come on, he's in Detroit. You got to give him some slack.
I can say it. Nahez.
Yeah, because I told you how to say it, and he's not even saying I'm saying it right, are you?
No, that's right. That's basically how the family pronounces it. That's
okay.
Fine.
Oh, you know what? Look, you sent me all this good work in advance. Don't let me down by being boring the way you deliver.
Oh, brother, here we go.
Yeah, right,
out of the gate.
Pep it
okay,
up,
go ahead.
Yeah, I got to tell you right at the front. Come on. Now, why don't you tell everybody how you came to the Recruiting Animal Show, but don't drag it out, okay?
Okay, I was a friend of mine. His father passed away. I went to a private high school in Wisconsin. I'm originally from Michigan, and I was very close with the family. So I had to pack up and get over to Wisconsin for the funeral. And I was driving there, and I was listening to podcasts of some of my favorite, well, a couple of my favorite shows, and they ran out. And so I hopped on my iPhone real quick and just did I literally never did a search for a podcast before. I just punched in recruiting, and I think Animal Show came up first or second. And I just downloaded a whole slew of them, and I saw some interesting topics and listened to the show for eight hours.
I wanted it to be an advertisement for the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a long
eight
drive,
hours.
Man. It's a long drive.
Pod tourist.
Yeah, basically,
okay,
give us your
elevator speech, please.
Oh, I thought you were going to make an introduction first.
Okay, he's this recruiter from Detroit who thinks he's pretty hot stuff, and I do, too. And he's a newcomer to the show. He just told you he listened to us on a marathon session of the Recruiting Animal Show. He's not the first one to do that on a long trip, let me tell you. And anyway, so I said, come on, tell us what's up. And so he's here. He's in Detroit. His name is Steve Nahez. He specializes in the automotive industry. I'll just leave it at that for now. We'll get into a lot of detail. Now, one more question, before we get going. I noticed from your picture that you've got a 5 o'clock shadow. I'm right about that, aren't I?
Oh, by 10 o'clock in the morning every day, man. It's miserable.
Does that
miserable.
Make you feel more masculine that you've got such a heavy beard, or does it make
I
you feel
do
unkempt?
Don't do it on purpose. Don't do it
well,
on
yeah,
purpose.
Do you feel self-conscious about it? Is it a problem, and how do you deal with it, or do you?
No, we're totally dressed down in our office, so it doesn't matter.
Were you shaving
oh, really?
In fourth grade? Are you one of those guys?
No.
Okay, so you don't
no.
interview people during the day, right?
freshman sophomore year. That's right. We never visit clients. We never want candidates coming here. We've got four locks on the door.
Nice. Okay, and this leads to something real. You just do business on the phone. Is that right?
100%.
Even though you're recruiting people primarily in your own city, is that right too?
Absolutely. Over 50% of what we do.
Why is it that you think you don't have to meet them? Because Cora May, who lives in Detroit as well and just retired, she met everybody and she's in Detroit. How come you don't have to meet people?
Yeah.
Because of the quantity of activity it's done per recruiter, we would never have the time to, it would burn up too much time. And that's part of the reason why I thought I might come on the show is because we have a completely different technique that we use in our office. It's a completely different setup. It's a completely different
protocol.
Yeah,
okay, I'm
going
to get to that. I told you, I integrated your plan into the show, okay? In fact, I based the show on your plan. I'm going to get to every point that you sent me, okay? Now, you're an engineer. Maybe that's why you were so organized and you sent me everything. You're an engineer. You're an automotive engineer. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Plus, you've got an MBA.
Yeah, I used to design interiors and bumpers, got into springs and seals. And I'm telling you, if I keep going, that'll be boring.
I like springs and seals. We have a seals customer right now.
That's great that you don't want this to be boring. I appreciate that because we're totally not heading in that direction.
I got to set this up. Come on. And you've also got an MBA. Am I right about that?
I did really. I've always done really lousy in school, and I thought nothing better than to go back to grad school where you're required to get a 3.0 or higher. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Okay. But how does your experience as an engineer help you? I mean, you were a salesman after you graduated. Is that correct as well?
In automotive, I would not consider that traditional type of sales. It's more bureaucratic than that. So automotive salespeople, and I'm not talking about dealership people. I'm talking about people that sell parts for cars to the OEMs. Uh-huh. Those people are not traditional, high level salespeople. Correct.
Okay, but that's what you were doing, right?
I was sort of a bureaucratic sales paper pusher kind of guy for a while.
Okay, so the point is you told me that you had a bad attitude, you were totally bored in your job. Obviously, you were too dumb to pick the right avenue for your job. You took a job that wasn't suited to your personality, and so that's why you left the industry. Is that correct? And became you said you were a loose cannon, you were totally bored, and that's why you became a recruiter. Am I right about that?
Well, yeah, and it was really quite a setup because I worked for, I don't know, 7 or 8 different companies, including Mazda and Ford Motor Company. My last corporate job was with 3M, and I would have, I would get this job, let's just say, and I would be assigned, the role that I'm gonna do. And after a short while, I would get really bored. So what I would do is I would go around to various departments in each company, and I'd just start chatting with people about what they do. And after 13 years of being sort of this corporate nomad, I basically learned how automotive suppliers operate from soup to nuts. Each department, and I got to know people, and I wasn't a very good employee. I got a lot of bad reports and things like that. And I just happened on recruiting through my mentor. And within about a week, I went from being a corporate guy working at 3M to no base income recruiter, basically.
Now, you say that you were trained by the best in the MRI system. What did your training involve? You said it was great. You said your training was great. Is that right? Did I draw the right conclusion?
It was absolutely fabulous. And the gentleman...
are you saying on Twitter that the show is boring so far?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You're the one driving it.
Ask him a question. You ask him a question. I'm doing a lot of...
Hold it. Em, are you already turning this show over to your call-in people?
Well,
14 minutes in? First five minutes? Stick with your plan, dude.
Thank you. Thank
I'm waiting
you,
patiently. I'm waiting for something to come up that, you know, I can smack down.
Yeah,
so
we'll
I'm just going to go back on mute until that happens.
Okay.
I'm just
looking
at high-quality recruiting.
I'm going to start typing, I swear to God.
I'm setting this up well. Let's get back on track. What was your training? What made it so good? How, like, Mike Aestringer is training a recruiter, I think, right now. What should he do? How were you trained so well that other people can do the same thing for their recruiters?
Two sentences, probably, if I can keep to that. It's my previous boss. He was an absolute fanatic about best practices, and what he did is he took the recommendations from MRI, the weeks and weeks and weeks of training a recruiter would go through, and he boiled it down to very, very simple best practices. You know, lots of phone time. You know, all of the best practices that basically we come into work and do every day. Not the other 90% of stuff that would distract us from being on the phone.
Okay,
it's fabulous.
So the whole
absolutely
thing was
fabulous.
Getting you on the phone, that's the key?
Yeah, I mean, it was Luke Skywalker and Yoda. I mean, honestly, he at that time, it was back in 2003,
well,
he handed
concrete,
me one.
Be concrete. Be concrete.
1.5 inch.
What did he make
okay,
you do?
I went into work. I went into work. Day one, he handed me 2 inches of resumes that were printed out, and he told me to start calling. And I started calling candidates. He described to me what an MPC, or that's MRI terminology for most placeable candidate. I've gone ahead and defined that a little bit further as a candidate that has a relevant degree in the industry.
Yeah, okay. But my point is, you said you when you were at this company, you billed no less than $300,000 a year, right?
That's correct. Yes, absolutely.
And he had you on the phone when you had no experience at all. You had a lot of sales experience of a certain sort. What made you such a success? And if that's not a good question, I want someone to tell me what a better question is, okay? Go ahead.
Compared to your questions, his favorite color would be a good question.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Answer my question.
The requirement in the office is no less than 4 hours of phone time, connect time.
Yeah, dude,
and
this guy, we have the same story, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah. It is. It's a classic story. If you can't be on the phone, you're not gonna make it as a recruiter.
There's no other way to learn this profession. I don't care what people say.
I went into work. I went into work and I sat down at my desk, and I booted up my computer, and I had a stack of resumes there that were all basically automotive engineering resumes.
Yep.
Started calling candidates, identified the best MPCs, marketable candidates, and then I started. You took the candidate, you went from company Y, you started calling company X, A, B, and C that did the same thing.
Okay, we're going to ask you about those marketing calls, but first I'm going to go to something that you had here that I think is kind of controversial. You said now that in recruiting, the tools you use are the key, which is contradictory to what you just said to some extent, right? And you said, am I right? You said tools are very important. Is it right?
Absolutely. Just like the NASCAR is the most important thing for Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon's car isn't working perfectly,
Let's run through the list of tools. Number one, a robust database. You said on your database, your private database, you've got 110,000 automotive professionals. Is that right?
Nice. That's right.
Where did they come from? It took three years to generate that database. If someone was going to start recruiting tomorrow and they want to build in a new field, they know what they're doing, but they want to move into automotive, how are they going to build a database if that's so important? They're starting with nothing.
Okay, you pull out your credit card, you get subscriptions to the job boards, and you start pulling down resumes one by one, but you have to look at them, and you have to make sure that that what you're inputting into your resume on a daily basis is robust. You don't want to be pulling candidates that have nothing to do with your industry.
Garbage out.
Correct, that's right. Our database, I contend, is 90%+ robust with people that work in our industry, and it's all done based on very careful keyword searching, Boolean searching and such using the job boards. But you start constructing your database immediately.
what job boards do you belong to, and how much do they cost? You don't have to say if it's a secret.
Oh, say it. Jesus, make that interesting.
We utilized, and I'm going to use it past tense, but we have utilized Career Builder and Monster.
Oh, I just got a compliment from Jason Lee Overby. Even if the animal show is boring in spots, I listen because I'm committed. Wow.
Jim Durbin.
That makes me feel good.
Maybe I should sing
okay.
a song.
Jim Durbin wants you to open his line. He's got something to say.
Okay, hold on.
Actually,
everybody's open. Jim Durbin,
Animal,
what do you
I call
want
to in
say?
Every week in hopes that you're going to announce your retirement.
Okay, listen.
They actually agree so far, but I don't think you need to pay for Monster and Career Builder. Can't you do that same thing through LinkedIn or membership list or network? I mean,
association,
I
the auto business.
Come on,
yeah.
people. 100,000 people. You're not going to get that by scrapping around on LinkedIn and going to your Better Business Bureau.
You guys have no idea because you have no idea. It has taken 3 solid years.
Yeah, I don't think you're
going
to have it tomorrow, but I just
Saturdays
don't think you need to pay
candidates. Sitting there in front of documentaries on Saturdays and Sundays, looking at resume after resume after resume. Because the only way I could attract recruiters to join our office is if we had the right tools for them to just basically hop in and go. And it takes that size of a deep. Obviously, you've got to evaluate the industry you're in to see what your population of potential professionals
okay,
are.
Okay, let me ask
in
you
our,
a question. Hold on. So your database is sourced primarily and initially online, strictly online, yes or no?
Job board.
100%, yes.
At first,
yeah.
Now,
and then
he pulled down active candidates who were looking for a job.
And why in the world?
Nothing's wrong with it, Jerry.
I'll give a secret.
Not necessarily active. Okay.
What you really want to do is you want to go.
Let me talk.
This guy is my hero.
He's doing good work, but I want to hear the rest.
Yeah, okay, but he also, I'll just make a point. Glenn Cathy goes after those same databases for his kind of guys, and he harvests people who've been there for 5 years because he knows they're ready for a move now. Now, but this is very funny. You've got one of the tools, important tools, is an internet robot. What does that mean?
I'll go ahead and I'll plug the company. It's eGrabber.
Yeah.
Some of you may know, and they're...
Yeah.
It's a good product.
The guys at PC Recruiter know who they are, and they've turned me on to these guys. What eGrabber does, and again, if you're not a master of Boolean search, then I wouldn't even get this kind of tool. But what eGrabber does is, at that point, Amy, that's where we, on sort of the way we have things done, we've got our candidates are stored in the database as candidates, and then we have the eGrabber people is grabbing professionals from the internet, specifically LinkedIn, and inputting those people into your database. And those are all current, by the way. So if you're pulling all of the human resource managers in a 50-mile radius of Detroit, you know, those are all current if they've kept their LinkedIn current. So that's another side of our database that makes up about 7 or 8% of our database.
Why did you choose eGrabber over something like Broadlook technology?
Broadlook.
What did you mention?
TalentBin. Don't they do the same thing?
They all do.
TalentBin doesn't.
Why did you choose eGrabber?
TalentHub does too.
Okay, you said you have
to
be
TalentBin on the line.
That's
Derek.
Okay.
That's really a boring question. And it was recommended by the guys at PC Recruiter.
Okay,
and I don't fool around.
Okay.
I don't spend months researching stuff. It works.
So,
it does
so
what it needs. I need to.
Let me talk. Okay. So
I'm answering
you
your question.
If I cut you off, I don't want to hear the rest of the answer. Okay. Now,
can I give him a tip real quick, Animal? Animal.
No, go ahead.
Mayhez. Try to cut off your answer at about 30 seconds, 25 to 30 seconds.
Good tip, yeah.
Okay.
Now, look, Now, you use PC Recruiter as your basic software? Is that what you're telling us?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Now, the Internet Robot, so that just it's a scraper that scrapes the people's names, right? And are you saying that you're an expert in Boolean search? You keep mentioning don't get these things unless you know what you're doing. Did you take courses from Chally or somebody like that or Irina? What's your story there with the Boolean?
I self-taught.
Okay, but you think you're an expert, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. We don't have time to go in what that is. Third-party email blast provider. Which one are you using?
This was also recommended by the guys at PC Recruiter, StickyIT.com.
Uh-huh. And what does it do?
In 30 seconds.
Okay. With email blasts, and I want everybody, this is an important key to our business, okay? And I'm going to try to keep it in 30 seconds. Email blasts, you have to avoid being spam, okay? And what that means is that you've got to train the candidate base, and you have to carefully word things so that they're not viewed as being spam. So we send out on every single position, we send out an email blast based on a keyword search of those candidates that meet certain keyword criteria. We send out an email blast as a job alert. So, hey, today we got a brake engineer. It's located in Troy, Michigan. We give a couple minor details, and we have the small print at the bottom, and we blast that out to typically 800 to 2,000 people for each position.
All right.
Okay,
great,
you know,
answer.
What? I have to say something. Hold on. I usually don't look at Twitter, but I'm looking today, and I am getting slaughtered. Steve is getting slaughtered, and I don't understand why. Because the guy's making tons of money.
Wait a second.
Jim Durbin says, did I just wake up in 2002? Tom
Who's
Bull.
Jim Durbin? That's my question. Who is Jim Durbin?
He's a great guy. Tom Bolt says, I can't really be critical of the show today, but you can tell he liked to when he says, but I have heard all this before.
Yeah, you want to know who you heard it from? Successful people. Here's the deal, Mayhez. Everybody wants you to bring some – everybody's looking for some new button they can push and turn into some great recruiter or new school approach. There aren't any. It's about getting a database and somehow getting your job in front of as many people as you can all day long.
Each recruiter in my office averages on an ongoing basis approximately 27 job orders at one time. Okay, and each recruiter right now we're clipping along at about 2 to 3 placements per month.
Sweet.
We believe that we're going to be up to 3 to 4 by the end of the year.
Okay,
and if you
this.
Do the
hold
math,
on, hold on,
I you know
on,
you call me
on.
Not
listen
successful
to me.
Or whatever.
Listen
right?
to me. Listen to me.
Hold
okay.
on, Nahez. I don't think anybody. I don't think the gallery is saying that you're not successful. They just want to hear some new way, some new thing about success. And
no, Jerry. Listen to me, Jerry.
Yeah, you know what? If he was calling a recruiter, I'd have no issue with him.
What?
Look,
what,
Mike Stringer says.
I said
Mike
if he was calling his people spammers.
Yeah. Like Tom Bolt as well says, job alert in subject goes right to spam. Sorry, animal. Mike Astringer says, I'm about to hang up. I can't take it anymore. Third week in a row, you have a spammer as a guest.
I have a question.
Hey, I have a question.
Steve Nahez,
do you click on how many, do you find out with your program how many people trash your email and how many open it, and can you give us the figures, and then we'll go to Amy Alla.
I do not have I don't know how many people open it, but I can tell you this. We have less than 1% unsubscribes for the ones that we send out. The other thing is, I hope we can get to this before the end of the hour because it's the most important part. Our branding is super fast, high quality recruiting.
Yeah, we'll get
okay?
to that next. We'll get to it. Okay.
That was basically
You're
my question. I wanted to know if he had a way to track how many people unsubscribed or, like you said, didn't open it, but he doesn't. So,
that monkey, smiling monkey or whatever it is, that does it. Almost every email program that I've ever heard of tells you if the person clicked it. Even Jerry put that into his program as well, Jerry, right? It tells you if the person clicked on it, right?
You bet. I want to know.
Okay, so that's something.
Yeah, I think that's
I just don't know what happened to the days where
yeah, I've got one comment on that. If the results I'm getting, we're getting a 15%. We're getting 15% bounce back from the email blast that we do. Okay,
uh-huh.
I don't care. I don't care that it's not 50%. I care about the 15% because what that does is that surfaces the candidates that are alive and kicking, the ones that we want to place. So I don't impress myself by hitting 50 or 75%. All I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to find out who's interested in learning about a new job, and then we call them up. Okay.
Yeah, man. Okay. You're interested in making presentations all day long. That's all our
okay.
job is.
Okay.
That's right. All
the
we
guy,
do is
his,
make phone
his
calls.
Motto, Steve's motto is super fast, high quality recruiting. Shoot. Go ahead. Tell us your claim. Tell us how you work.
Is cheap in there as well or just super fast?
I
mean,
haven't gotten to that yet. Super fast.
Is
ruining
your client's brand in there as well?
Steve Nahez, are you listening?
Yeah, what's the question?
I want to know. You're super fast. Tell us what that means. That's your motto, super fast.
He can't answer. He's in the middle of sending out 74,000 emails.
Well, you know what? It works. And, you know, like I said, I was
Don't
prepared for that
him.
Being
answer
criticized, but hey, I'm not. What we do is it's a push and pull constantly. We take an MPC, which, you know, placeable candidate.
We know
contact
what that is.
We contact the company, we get a job order, let's just say we get it, and they ask, well, why are you so different? And we tell them the reason why we're different is because we're going to start getting you candidates by tomorrow, and we're going to get you very placeable candidates by tomorrow or the next day, and the campaign should be over by day three. And you'll have, you know, typically 3 to 6 people to interview, and you'll hire one of those people.
What
and
I found,
say, well,
though, is not every company is in a big rush to hire. I mean, you might be fast, but maybe they don't want fast.
They want
How often do you run into them saying, well, I don't care about we're not in a hurry?
We essentially only focus on high positions.
Okay. Gotcha.
Maybe
okay.
my company isn't
here
that you have 15 spammers sitting in Afghanistan
yes,
sending out emails.
Can I interject?
No reason to, like, really do a thorough rep review and really understand company culture. Like, that doesn't really matter. It's just, let me throw some resumes at you. In 24 hours, you're going to hire somebody.
Hold on. Before
exactly.
you answer,
yes.
Hey, Nahez, I should have forewarned you. A lot of the people that call into this show, and I don't want to offend anybody, couldn't really make it on the outside. So they've all permed out. They've gone internal. And so we got some HR ladies on the phone. So understand that.
Who do we have on the phone that's in HR? I'm curious. I want to meet that person.
A. Stringer.
Okay.
Okay,
okay,
well,
so let's
actually,
take an example
Mike
here.
Mike had an interesting idea. You could actually, if you're doing a lot of email blasts, he said you could have 15 guys in Afghanistan doing it for you. Is that right? Is that what you said, Mike?
That is what I said.
Okay.
That's why we use the software we do.
We all sit in Afghanistan.
It
you
takes
know what?
60 seconds to do an
I
email
I got to tell you something. The other guy who listened to us on a long trip. That was Rob McIntosh a few years ago. He listened
yeah.
to us for 10 hours on the way to and from Atlanta to Washington, and he told me, he said, when there was something good being said, everybody talked at once, and I couldn't understand what anyone was saying. So you might want to keep that in mind. Now, Steve told me that he says our competition is normally a bunch of solo recruiters or schlub, low-level, uneducated recruiters doing simple keyword searches. Our objective to compete with them is to present 5 to 8 candidates in 36 hours and 10 to 12 candidates by 72 hours. I was blown away. Now, nobody else seems impressed.
He's talking about you.
Okay. I was impressed. Nobody else seems impressed. Why not?
But this is just pure quantity is what I'm hearing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have no problem with it. It's working for him. He's making money. Good for him. But he's a
no
quantity recruiter, not necessarily quality.
You start with quantity and identify the quality. Anybody that doesn't know that basic of sales is shot.
Animal, can I speak for a second?
To you.
Yep. Mike Aspringer.
I'm against Amy today.
I can see that. What the heck?
Adam, well, you know why I have a problem with this guest and the last two? Because what we used to do for a living was considered a profession, and there was a way to do it and the right way to do it. And today it just seems like everybody out there that's calling themselves a recruiter is just spamming the whole world. I mean, what happened to focused searches, picking up the phone, targeting the correct people? I mean, I keep my consulting profile on the internet. I get 10 emails a day from people that want to offer me a job as a director of marketing, as a engineering something or other. I mean, it's insane, all the spamming that's going on.
Is that why you got out of business, Mike?
You know, come on,
Jerry.
Okay, you know, and it's up to you to open up your minds and consider that, okay, maybe this is 6-year-old technology or whatever we're using. I've got top 20% recruiters working in the office now. Okay, we're not all experts. What we do is we identify what are good job orders and what are cruddy job orders. Let me just keep it clean. Okay, and we do that very quickly. Does that mean that the tougher searches, we ignore them?
Do you also have an uncle that needs to transfer $38 million out of the country?
Do you ignore the purple squirrels?
I do. Jerry Albright does.
Stephen Nahez? Did the guest disappear? Did he get bounced? Did he hang up?
I hope so.
We're just too uneducated for him.
I think he's gone.
I don't think there's anything wrong with his business model at all. If it works for him, if he's making money, he's successful, that is awesome. No problem. But that's not the only way to recruit. There are retained recruiters who I'm sure would think this guy's full of it because they do something completely different. There's all different types of recruiting
Amy, I have done a lot of retained searches, and they're no different. They're no different.
Wait a minute. So a retained search, you're going to say, hey, I'll get you 6 people in 24 hours. You're going to hire in 72, really? Or is it more of a thorough rec review? It's a longer, more specified process. And I've done it too, all right? So we both know that I'm right.
Okay. Amy, do you get my point, though, about the where our profession is going and all these spammers calling themselves recruiters?
I totally do. I'm not a spammer either. We have those capabilities. I could do blast, all that stuff. I don't like it personally. I choose not to do it. So, but if he's making money, you know, who am I to say he's wrong? It's just not the kind of recruiting I would personally
okay,
do.
Okay, I think
all.
Steve is back. Steve, you're back?
Yep.
You're back? Steve, my guest,
yep.
Are you back? Okay. Look,
yes.
I think the real measure of you know, what works, this guy's making a lot of money. That's all I need to know, okay? That's all
but that's
I need to know.
That's how you work. It's on top of that.
But that's because dollar is more valuable in Nigeria where he's doing the work from.
Let me say something. I haven't heard Nahez say that he's making a lot of money. I haven't heard him say that.
How much money
did you make last year? Do you want to tell us?
Didn't he say $300,000 a year or something?
That was when I was working for the man. We're doing a lot better than that now.
We average
2 to 3 placements per month per recruiter, and there's 4 recruiters. So you can do the math.
Okay, let me.
I don't know. I don't have an MBA. Maybe I can't.
They're doing $1.6 million this year in perm fees.
Yeah,
that's
let
awesome.
Me get this
yeah,
out.
We only do permanent
let me get this out. Let me get this out, please. He said, if our system only surfaces less than 5 candidates in 3 days, that means there's issues with the job order. What do you mean by that? Stephen Nahez.
I'm here. We have triggers that if we're not identifying the candidates quickly, that means there's an issue like there's not enough population, in other words, of candidates that do what the company's looking to be done. I'll give you a real quick example. I had a company contact me, contact our office, and they said, "Hey, look, we're looking for a powdered metal engineer, okay?" And they're willing to go all the way up to about $120,000 in Detroit, Michigan. Engineers really cap out somewhere around 105 to 110. Okay, so 120. This company knew that there weren't a lot of people out there. We conducted the search. We did it 3 times, and we just could not surface literally anyone. There was only a couple candidates out there that we ended up surfacing, and it still wasn't close to even what they were looking for. It's an impossible search. We call them albino giraffes in our office.
You know, because that means that you can't do real recruiting. If you were doing real recruiting, you'd go out and search them, but you're finding two people that happen to have their resumes on the Internet. That proves our point.
That's
no,
a good
that's
point, Mike.
No, it's
part
not true. We actually, actually, in that case, Mike, we also do direct recruiting. I went out and I found out that there was actually only six competitive companies in the entire United States that do what this company is doing, and at each of those companies there's only one or two engineers, and it was a dud search. It was just and there are searches like that. There are certain corners of our industry where it can be a rabbit hole. And here's the thing. With those solo recruiters out there, and a solo recruiter can be working at an office like a Snelling or MRI or GRN office, it's just that they're not getting any help from their partners, okay? They're doing it all by themselves. And those type of albino giraffe searches, you get three or four or five of those things going, you're not making any money.
Unless you do real recruiting and find the person, like Jerry would.
I know a lot of recruiters, that's all they would work on.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Here's a question. Is email, is that your only approach to recruiting?
No.
I mean, is that your start and
that.
Finish?
He says, let me just prime the pump there. He says, we call between 2,000 and 2,500 candidates per week with four recruiters.
Correct.
Steve, you pick up there. Steve?
That's right. Okay, on each job order that no, it's not. On each job order that that we get, the first thing we do is we do an email blast out there, 800 to the decent search should be between 800 and 2,000 in my market. The next thing that we do is we zero in with our Boolean search to create a roll up list, a real tight list that maybe is radius bound or whatever. And narrow it down to about the top 100, and then the recruiter will jump on the horn and start calling those 100 candidates one after another. Bam, bam, bam,
see,
bam, bam.
That's a strange thing. Do you get 100 people to call on one search? Like Amy said or Mike
the
said, there's not always that many people in the field. I've never encountered 100. And even
well,
if you
that's
if
because
you
I
how many times a day to reach 10,000 a week? That's I don't even know how you have that much time to actually dial the phone.
2,000 a week, four recruiters, that's 500 a day, 400 a day.
No, it's not 400 a day. Do the math.
400 a week, I mean, yeah, a week.
Yeah, it's
okay,
400 a day. That's nothing. It's
100 a day.
So what we do is
100
a day.
100
a day.
So
okay,
now,
got it.
Okay, so now here's the synergy, okay? We don't have, like, normal recruiters out there that are on their own, solo, working at office. They'll typically have, like, 7 to 10 job orders they'll be working at one time. But they can really only focus on one or two, you know. You can't work on 7 simultaneously. In my office, you do. Because you,
why can't you work on 7 simultaneously if they're in the same family, same career family? You're looking for various
I walk the walk, Amy. Recruiters out there, you're not going to get exactly the same family. You're going to get – they're not even going to be close cousins from each other. So
really?
You've got to drop
can't
one
have,
search.
Like, 7
you've got to do another
trip.
Search.
Adam Osterwalk, Derek Zeller is claiming his line is not open.
Okay, let me see. What's his area code? Every line is open. Maybe Derek called the wrong show. Hey.
Okay. So when each
Animal,
recruiter
can I say something?
Who?
Animal, can I say something?
Yeah, Derek.
Yes, go ahead.
To say something. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to direct this to you, Jerry. You know what? You say, Jerry, that. You know, when you move inside, you're not a real recruiter anymore. But this guy just proved that point. He did his little internet search, didn't come up with any candidates for that powder coat engineer position, and decided it was unfillable. When you're on the inside, you don't have the ability to say to your hiring manager, this role is unfillable. You got to keep working it until you find the candidate.
That's why I like being on the outside. You can.
Well, they're gonna, in the case of the Pottery Engineer, you'd be working for free for a long time. Listen. The point is, with the albino giraffe, you're not gonna go chasing around and looking for an albino giraffe for $25,000 or $30,000 when you can make a lower level like placement on a hot search for $17,000, $18,000, $19,000. It's just not worth your time.
We just summed it up. You get a job order. You do your internet search. You spam. If you don't get the great response, you move on to the next one.
Precisely, but at the same time, you've got recruiters that are making placements.
Hold on
again. I mean, I don't feel bad when. I don't feel bad when a client comes and they stack up so many requirements, that it's an impossible search. If somebody else wants to chase that albino giraffe around the yard and make a placement after 6 months, that's fine with me.
We're not out here to fall on the sword for some client that's got this position we'll never fill for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, go ahead and fire me.
Hey, can Derek Zeller say something? The guy's been waiting, please.
If he has the nerve.
But wait a minute,
Derek Zeller,
that's my point. If he says to the client,
Derek,
you're going to have a hire in 3 days, then we're
trying to get
rid of him.
Derek Zeller. Derek Zeller, is he there?
Yeah, man.
I'm trying to give... Are you there, Derek? Come on, don't talk
I'm
like a lady, okay?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, is that you? Go ahead, talk.
Yes.
What's your question? What do you want to say?
Hey, listen, low-hanging fruit, you can go after it all day long, man. I did it for a long time myself, but there are definitely markets. And listen, here, the Detroit market, not exactly a reeling market of opportunity, so it's pretty easy to find a lot of low-hanging fruit, in my opinion.
Dude, Detroit is
that,
rocking right
Seattle,
now, man.
You'd die. You would die. You know, if you're going to put a help desk guy to work today, every day, yeah, that's one thing. If you're going to go after high-level people, It's gonna be lower searches. You're not just gonna be spamming people because they're gonna actually spam filter you. They're gonna go tell everybody else. If this guy ever calls you, it's a waste of time. I agree to what
not
you're
true.
Doing. It works well for you and you make money. That's awesome. But not every.
Not
market.
True. Not in Detroit, Michigan. Because what happened was during the last recession, there was a lot of layoffs, and those layoffs drilled right into HR. So now what we've got is we've got a whole slew of HR people out there, and I got to tell you, the most miserable person in Michigan right now has the title of engineering manager, okay? And the reason is because he's got enough work for a department of 13 people, but he's only got 9 people working there. So he's bashing his 2 or 3 superstars over the head to fill in all the blanks, and he can't get a requisition through the company to fill those other 4 positions that he needs filled. So he might be able to get 1 position. So now he wants a superstar. What do they do to go get a superstar? They go down to HR Billy, and HR Billy is supposed to find some superstar for some remote department. And what we do is we contact that manager and we say, hey, look, in 36 hours, we can have you 5, 6, 7 candidates. Bam. We're solving problems out there.
What happens in 36 hours when you don't find that candidate? You give up.
Yeah, what happens if you get an albino giraffe in 30 years? What do you say when you don't find anybody? Because you said some of these are impossible.
I'm in the world of albino giraffes every day, dude. I find them. I never need an agency. Never have. Not unless I need a contract.
Zeller again.
And then Derry can stand up that he knows what I look for. But trust me, dude.
That's the gayest term I ever heard, by the way.
Well,
that's you and your industry.
Saying we've mastered our industry.
Okay, look.
But you haven't, because
questions.
You just said if you can't find a candidate by spam, that you give up. So what do you tell the client after 36 hours
when
he hasn't made a
hire? What do you tell the client? Yeah, I want to know. What do you tell the client when you don't have anybody?
We tell the client, specifically the hiring manager, that they need to back off of some of the requirements that they're looking for.
Okay, but you've already promised to have 5 or 8 candidates in 36 hours. That's you back off away
what
from
am
that.
I paying
you're not
for?
Shy. You're not shy to back away from that claim if it doesn't work out. Is that right?
Absolutely, and it's not a promise. It's a best guess. Is what it is. We're gonna try to get you 5, 6 candidates and. You know, in 36 hours, up
like
to 12.
It sounded like a promise.
It sounded like a promise to me.
It sounded like a promise.
It sounded like a promise to stop everything I'm doing.
I'm supposed to stop
like
everything I'm doing because you're going to get me candidates.
It
okay,
like
all right, here's the thing. Before the hour's
do,
up.
We're real recruiters. But now it's
okay,
like,
before,
baby.
Before the hour's up, let me give you the numbers. Each recruiter has a goal to get 10 resumes out the door each day, okay?
Good or
ten
bad,
resumes,
go out the door.
Okay?
Good or bad,
and, not typically that, you know.
You know what? It would be
nice if you could
get some information out.
Oh, my God, dude.
I got a resume sitting in front of me here of a guy that works at McDonald's. You want to submit it to that engineer role?
Yeah, he will.
Typically 50.
It's 10
50
resumes, Mike A. Stringer. It's 10 resumes.
Look,
well, I mean, A. Stringer, you can make fun of the system.
Listen.
I mean, we're making 2 to 3 placements a month. Okay?
Listen,
I mean,
me.
10
resumes a day equals 2 placements a month.
I made 30 in 30 days. Who cares?
Correct. That's right. That's what it boils down to. Is,
and the fact is, even a blind squirrel finds a nut.
Time for me to talk.
That's 6,000
resumes. Time for me to talk. It's time for me to talk. It's time for me to talk. There's 10 minutes left. Let the guy talk and argue on Jerry's show, okay? I want to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, save it
for
my
show. I'm very happy to have him back for another show if you want to just talk
Why?
Over him for the next 10 minutes.
Why?
Go ahead. What were you going to tell us?
Okay, in our office,
can we hear about his uncle in Nigeria?
Let's let Mahez talk for the rest of the show, and I'll let you HR ladies complain at 1 o'clock.
I'm not complaining. I just think it's funny.
Please, I'm waiting. Come on, I got an audience. Steve, shoot. Come on, back me up now.
Come on, Steve.
It's pretty, pretty simple.
Everybody's
goal is to get 10 resumes out per day. It translates to 50. Typically, that will end up being five send-outs, and that typically ends up in one placement. That's what the numbers boil down to.
Wait a minute. 10 resumes a day is 5 send-outs how often?
That 5 per week.
Okay.
So what's that, a 10-to-1 ratio?
Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
You know, Art, let me
What
ask
do
you
tell
question.
The other 9 that don't get picked?
Our approach is very natural. We just tell them, hey, you know, they took a pass on your background. We're going to look for other things for you.
And
I guess,
you know,
I, you
know,
I
inside,
know.
Is that one place
you
that
can.
Only one place in a month?
Listen, if somebody on the inside, if I got to look at 10 of your resumes to interview one person, you're not a vendor of mine very long. You better know what I want, and you better get it to me there quick.
Brother. Okay. Well, obviously, you haven't captured the whole concept of how the office operates. Those 10 resumes are being fired off to various job orders. You're not getting 10, like,
okay,
right
so
in a row on one job order.
Okay. Your office
if that's
hours,
the case, how many job orders get a send-out?
Okay, this is interesting. His office hours are 9 to 4:30. Very reasonable work-life balance. Is that right?
Yeah, we come in, and everybody here knows, you come in to make phone calls, and there's a system that sets up how we make our phone calls. These aren't telemarketing calls. We don't read off a script. We have to listen. We call the candidate. We say, hey, Joe, we've got a copy of your resume here. We make sure it's the latest resume. What's got you looking around? Joe tells you what's got him looking around. Okay, well, what is it you want to do? He tells us what he wants to do. Then we look at the wall. We take a look at the 100 job orders we got, and we go, okay, well, here you go. Here's 1, 2, and 3 opportunities. And that's what
right.
we do all day long. That's it.
Okay.
It's very, very simple.
You got to work your ass off when you're here. Does that mean no chit chat in the office? What's it like in there?
No, we just it's no chit chat. The only chit chat that we have is we do crosstalk, and everybody gets a portion of the fee in our office. Okay, whether it's a tiny portion or a big portion, every placement that's made, everybody gets something. Okay, so
even if they're not involved.
Correct. That's right. Exactly. They get a reward.
All they
got to
do is
send
resumes.
That. Well,
I could ask one more question about the email blast before we're out of time. You said this is your method. You look at previous job searches of the similar kind to see if there's anybody you didn't use there who you could call again. Yes or no? right?
Yes. Yes.
Then you go to the job boards if there's nobody in the database. Then you do this robot to scrape LinkedIn and things like that. Now here you say you do a focused email blast of 600 to 2,000 candidates. Is that on one search you've got 600 to 2,000 relevant people to approach for one search?
Yes,
is that right?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes.
I can't imagine that.
I can show you if you want to do a webinar or whatever.
No, I'm not
if you want
to, you're not doing it, but on a search that I'm familiar with, there's not 600 people to approach necessarily. Just
no,
like
I know, and this isn't for everybody. This system that we've put together here, I believe would be adaptable to other industries. That's why I'm doing the show. I mean, why would I come on here and be abused by what's his name in the cubicle? And if the system wasn't working, okay,
really,
the system
yeah.
works, and I think the system can work in other industries. Anything that's doing with technical positions, manufacturing, this system will work, and it's franchisable, repeatable, and it's got good results. I stand behind it, and the recruiters that work for me, they love it too.
Okay.
They're getting handed checks.
There's so much interesting stuff here. I haven't gotten a half of it because we've been arguing the whole time. But I just want to get this sniper approach. You tell a client right up front that if we're going to send out one candidate, and you have to call that guy. Is that what's the sniper approach? I want to understand that.
When we identify that it ends up being an albino giraffe, we get on the phone with the hiring manager and we say, hey, look, this is nearly impossible, and here's why. Here's the companies we chased after. Here's the departments we chased after. Here's the number of people that we surfaced. Here's the reasons why they're not applying for the job. Therefore, if we can find you just one candidate, are you going to bring them in to interview? Yes or no? And if they say no, then we're done.
Okay, and last thing, I guess, although I got to tell, I feel bad. We'll have to have you on again. But you say you don't consider yourself a salesperson, are you? You said prior to the final, you have a candidate pact. Before the final interview, you've got a candidate pact discussion. You want to tell PACT. You want to tell us what that means?
Yeah, every recruiter does that in the office here. When we get a candidate gets about three-quarters of the way through the interview process and things are jiving, what we do is we get the candidate on the phone, we take about 5 minutes, and we say, hey, look, we're so happy that we found you something that looks interesting. We just want to let you know one thing, and we're going to stand behind this. We're not going to at any time try to talk you into taking that job. All we're asking in return is that you just communicate with us, let us know if it's a thumbs up or thumbs down, okay? And the reason for that is because we walk this tightrope, and a lot of these candidates know that we make money off these deals. But we have to cut them loose and trust that the candidate's going to make the decision that they want to make without our influence. If that happens, when the candidate joins the company, we get repeat business because the candidate, they've made it, So that's the pact, basically, is that we tell them, hey, look, we're not going to at any point in time, we're not going to talk you into the job because you're the one that was on the job interview. We weren't. We don't know what was said. So, we're just here to fill in any blanks to help you make your decision. That's all.
Okay. There's so much great. So I think, personally, just so you know, John Brzezinski, who's a regular listener, or was in the past at least, he says your guest is like, he says it's the best show that he's listened to in a long time. So not everybody is negative. I think it's been a great show. I got to have you back because I'm interested in how you work. Everybody else? You can stay on so you can argue on Jerry. Steve Nahez, if they want to talk to you on Twitter, it's NEHEZ Recruiting, right? Is that right? But you're not really on Twitter personally. You don't have time for that. Is that right?
No, I don't play around on Twitter. I really don't.
Okay, if they want to talk to you, where do they get in touch with you?
They can email me.
Put your resume on Monster. He'll find you.
That was good, Amy. What's your email address? Can someone please listen to me? What's your email address?
I'm really late boat shopping now.
Steve@nahezrec.com.
Steve@nahezrec.com. One last thing. Let me say this. Honest to God, guys, I'm a newbie. I've listened to about 15 shows. And I'm not just a fan of Animal. I'm a fan of all of you. I'm honest. And I'm not just sucking up, because you all come from different walks of life, and I'm learning stuff. If I wasn't learning anything from it, I wouldn't listen to the show, I swear.
The show didn't go longer, he would have started talking about his Nigerian uncle that needed to get $80 million out of the country.
Hey, guys, let us put our jealousy on the shelf and just go to the show. The dude is kicking your ass, and he's kicking your ass, and he's kicking your ass. Now,
I'd get him a job if I do what he did.
I don't see it.
You know, I'll break it down this way, Jerry. If he submitted me 10 candidates, and I don't care how many recs it was for, if he submitted me 10 candidates and I could only interview one, he's done. He's never sent me another one.
So then, he's in need of refining his quality of interview or candidate submission to his customer. I think
so
he can do
that. Why
would
I pay him for a candidate that he found on Monster and
on 100 resumes?
Here's
for every
the thing.
Place.
I have no problem at all with his business model, because there are definitely clients that don't have internal support or don't whatever. So for whatever reason, it makes sense for them to pay someone like him a fee for quantity and all that. And that is awesome. No problem. Go after those clients all day long. But how dare you act like the rest of us, especially those who've gone internal, somehow suck or don't know what we're doing or aren't good because we work in a different sport? I mean, that's ridiculous and insulting.
Insulting.
Yep. There it is right
there. I don't think that he was slamming anybody else, was he?
I agree with Jerry.
Well,
he was being arrogant and telling people we already know.
He was going to, but I don't think we ever got to that point.
I believe.
He's the one that said that internals get fat and complacent last week. Remember that?
They kind of do.
Hey, Jerry, can you hear me?
I don't know about
that.
I
don't know any that do, but okay.
Hey, Jerry.
Not only that, but.
Hold on.
Jerry.
Wait a minute.
The exact opposite.
What?
I did the exact opposite of him, and I already have 4 hires this month.
Here's the deal. He knows his market. He's not. He's got a
I'm
business.
Not saying he doesn't. I'm not saying he doesn't.
He's got
if
a
he
business
tried to do
model.
That here, he would be. He'd starve in a month.
I'm happy that it worked for him.
That doesn't make him a non-recruiter.
His success. I think
he's
a
recruiter.
Clearly, he's just a different kind of recruiter.
Y'all are unfairly beating this guy up. I mean, he has a certain approach. He has a certain approach that doesn't necessarily fit your model. I mean, that's like a head coach of one NFL team.
Yeah.
Sitting there and busting the chops with the head coach of another
like
NFL team because of how they put their players in.
Is that Mark Sullivan?
It is Mark Sullivan.
How you been, man?
Good, good.
See, everyone's missing the point here. Here's what the point is. You know, here's what the point is, though. We are the customer. Amy and I are speaking as the customer, not as a third-party recruiter. And you know what? I don't want his candidates that he found on Monster, and I don't want him sending me 10 people for everyone I can interview. I want to pay him a fee because he went out and found me the best candidate, not somebody he spams from Monster.
So, Mike, I think you missed
the
point.
Why do you care where or how he finds the guy, though, customer?
Early on.
Why do you care if he met him at Walmart or if he dedicated his life to finding one resume that was perfect to get on your desk? Why do you care where he found him?
No, Jerry, I think the point was missed early on when he said this is how he initially built his database, his robust database.
Right.
Everyone jumped on that point. His comment was, I initially went out and pulled resumes from these sites, because who wouldn't do that to get started?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
I mean, where are you going to pull the candidates from? LinkedIn, Monster, Career Builder, or the Internet in general? You have
anywhere.
To start your
fine.
Resume.
Nobody's debating that, I don't think.
So he said
fine.
He initially went out there and downloaded those resumes and then culled them and found who are the good candidates and then built his database from there. And the 10 resumes is not 10 resumes per rec. He said
right.
10 resumes per multiple recs. So if you have 10 recs, Mike, and he sends you 10 resumes, then that's one candidate per rec. And that's what you want a vendor to do, right?
But if he sends me one candidate per rec and that equals 10 candidates and I can only interview one, then he's not sending me quality candidates. I want to be able to interview 5 of those 10.
He's sending out 880 resumes, and he's getting
8 to 12 placements a month. So every 100 resumes.
No, he's getting 2 to 3 a month.
No, he's getting two to three placements per recruiter. There's five recruiters. There's 2 to 3 placements per month by recruiter. So
per recruiter?
Best month is 15 placements a month.
Okay.
Yeah, he's sending 10 resumes a day for each recruiter. So that's 50 a week.
Right.
And every 2 weeks they're making a placement. So that's 100 resumes to one placement. So the quality is not there. He's in a quantity mass mailing business.
Here's the thing. He's not
which
recruiting.
Is fine
he's a database
if that's
guy.
What
which
he
is
wants
wrong
to do.
With
and
that
that's okay.
Works.
But don't say that if we don't do that or we're internal or we're working on some other level that we're now not recruiters and we're fat and complacent. That's stupid.
I didn't hear
right,
him say that during the call.
Said
I missed
it.
He said it last week.
It'll work.
Who said it last week? The guest.
Too.
The guest.
Yeah.
He was on. He was
Mark.
A, he called
Mark.
In last.
We have a kind of an underlying theme here from some of the internal recruiters who are they start off with kind of a chip on their shoulder in that they have to prove themselves. And it was evident the whole show. I mean, they love the database with all these people. Next thing you know, Mike Astringer is saying, you're fired if you send me 10 of your monster resumes.
Right. Well, I've been an internal recruiter since 96 or 97, and I spent the first 4 years of my career on the agency side. And I thought the guy was providing some good information. I just thought you all were jumping down his throat for some – you're taking some of his comments out of context. And
petty jealousy is what I spotted.
So you're okay if a vendor sends you 10 candidates and you can only interview one of them?
Again, I think you misunderstood what he was saying. I don't think I can only interview one candidate. I don't know where that comment's coming from. You're making it sound like he's saying, I'm going to send you 10, and you're only allowed to interview one.
Well, no, here's where I got that, Mark. That is, they have a goal of 5 send-outs
right.
to make their one placement. Now, their goal is also 10 resumes out a day.
So,
so
going
that's 200 and each, some resumes they've
so
got.
They're going 50% down their pipeline. So they know. So when I had to do call center recruit, or when I was managing recruiters to do call centers, we said, how many resumes do we need for one placement? And we figured we need 10 to 15 resumes to make one placement. This is all internal recruiting because it was just a volume. It's just a pure volume game. So we said, all right, if we have a class of 20, then we need a minimum 200 resumes to get a class of 20. It's a pure. He's figured out the numbers in order to run his business.
Right,
and
but
so
I do
if
believe
those
numbers
are working
are real
for him,
high.
They may
for
not
agency
be working
recruiting.
For your business. Right, I agree with you. I agree. I'm not denying that. I think the numbers are a little. They do seem a little off, and they do seem a little high. But you know.
But I would rather start there and improve the quality than start with no resumes sent, no
right.
send outs, no placements.
Right.
I like where the guy's starting, man. I like it.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. And if that was the conversation, if it was here's where we're starting and maybe this is where we want to get to or maybe we recognize that other people are doing other things, that'd be one thing. But this guy is so drunk on his own Kool-Aid that he can't wrap his head around the fact that other recruiters do things a little differently and are still successful.
And I did have a note here on my after-show host notes, which I do take. I take this responsibility seriously, that – it's hardly anything that he's ready to go franchise, but that seems to be his mission is he's ready to roll this out. He's ready to franchise it, systemize it. Well, franchising
as we say in the corporate world, Jerry, he's trying to make it scalable. Is that what you're trying to say? He's trying to see
he
scale
wants, he's ready
model.
To open up more offices. He thinks that this is a model that he can take out. And I hardly think getting a database and spamming it is really an agency franchise model, but good guy. Mark, what are your scores for the guest and then Animal?
For the guest, I got to tell you, I thought if we gave him a chance, I thought he had some good content to share. I mean, he had his holes, there's flaws in his approach, and I have concerns as well. But I also think the guy kind of was able to keep his cool throughout most of it, and that the brutal beating he took. So for that, I give him an 80.
Yeah, I like him. I'm a fan. I also like the fact that it sounds like Detroit is wide open.
Right.
To me. But those are further after-show host side note
there's
stuff.
There's potentially a market there, Jared.
Note to self, call Detroit.
Jerry might be taking a road trip to New Orleans.
What do you think about Animal's execution of his role?
You know, I've been listening here and there over the last couple of months, and I think today he did a little bit better than normal in trying to control the show, even after getting the Twitter feed and recommendations from other people. So I'm going to give him a 70.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, so what are you up to professionally? You were in Texas, then you moved east. Was it Philadelphia?
Right, I moved to the Philly area. Now I'm with American Water. I'm their head of their talent acquisition, and I'm helping them with their recruitment processes and staffing strategy for this company that's mostly a water utility, and we operate in multiple states, and it's heavily regulated business, so it's definitely a learning curve on how we recruit.
We all need water, and this is America, so it sounds like
right.
Man.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I know the president of your company.
I'm sorry?
I'm pretty sure I know the president of your company. I think that's where he works.
Okay. Yeah.
Name drop.
You guys are based in New Jersey, right?
Right, Voorhees, New Jersey, yep.
Yep, I know the president of your company.
I'm writing all this down.
Take a note on this?
Okay, Amy Alla.
Yeah.
If you can put your bitterness aside and give us some scores.
That's why I'm so fat, because I'm eating my feelings over here at being such a failure in recruiting. Yeah, so, props to him for coming on the show. It's not easy. In fact, if I recall, I think I was the one that encouraged Animal to bring him on the show, so this is all my fault. I'm gonna give him 72.
Mm.
I don't think it was a terrible show. I think it sparked some good debate, which is always nice. I think there's just an immaturity. I think that's what it is. It's a business immaturity. He has had some tremendous success, so he thinks, oh, my God, I have to do it this way, and this is the model, and this works, so it has to be like this. I think the older he gets, and he may be older than me, like age-wise, but I mean just in recruiting and business maturity, he's going to see that there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach, and that every organization, big, small, internal, external, is chock full of good and bad recruiters. So 72 for him, and I think Animal did a decent job of wrangling. So I'm going to give him an 80. I'm feeling, feeling kind of generous today.
All right. The guy is just committed to what he does, and every day that's what he's going to do. And he knows what at the end of the month what it's going to be, and it sounds like 8 or 10 placements over there.
Which is awesome. Congratulations to him for doing good and making money, but at some point he's going to have to step back and realize that this is not the only way. And if he starts
running
his mouth
about, and I don't think that he ever said that it was.
Well, not in so many words, but he has said that people who do other things, anyway, we don't have time to get into all of it, but we'll talk to him again in 10 years and we'll see. We'll see where he's at then.
My guess is he's going to be somewhere in South Florida enjoying the weather.
Or, you know what he's going to do? He's going to franchise this, and he's going to sell it, and he's not going to recruit anymore, and then he's going to ride the circuit. He's going to go to all those, what do you call them, conferences.
And A-Stringer will be his largest franchise holder with, 9 offices up and down the East Coast that he gets to drive to.
It's very possible. It's possible. But, so we'll see. He's either going to, I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch, though.
All right, A-Stringer.
I think my opinion is a given. I'm not going to work with a recruiter that I'm going to get to interview one of every 10 of his candidates.
And that translates to a score of 60. I mean, you're leaving me guessing here. I think A-Stringer hung up. So I think A-Stringer gave him a 93.
In
an animal. What, a 70? Yeah, that's right. Anybody else calling in today with thoughts on the show? Who is?
Where'd Derek go?
He split, but he gave 80.
Oh, he gave, yeah, I see.
And a 90.
Did you get Fleek's scores?
No, I didn't look.
84 for the guest and 90 for Animal.
84
thought Animal was committed to making today a good show. 84 and 90.
All right. That's kind of generous.
Chris Fleek.
Thank you,
lovely.
Chris Fleek. All right. Anybody else, or are we all supposed to get back to work?
Well, I mean, I'm at my corporate cubicle, which thankfully has a door and a window. But, I don't know. I think I need to go call some agencies so I can fill some positions.
Hey, I just got a tweet from Animal. He said that we had a ton of people on the line at the start of this show, but then I lost the people because I didn't ask for their opinions. Huh.
I don't know if that was why.
Who, you or he did?
I don't know. Is anybody else on the line that would like to chime in? Huh. I don't think so. Proving Animal wrong, I guess. I'm right, you're wrong, Animal. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week when
our
guest
we'll
is somebody that is sure to entertain.
See you later.
See you. Hey, thanks for calling in, Mark. Good catching up, bro.